Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Really appreciate this morning the opportunity to be able to worship God. Really appreciate the singing. Appreciate us praying together, reading scripture together. And I appreciate the fact that we were able to eat of the Lord's Supper today. And do appreciate the comments. Brother Absher has... Ambrose, Brother Ambrose, and presenting to us thoughts about the Lord's Supper. And one of the things that gives us great encouragement and should give us great encouragement is as we think about what God was willing to give, what God was willing to do, God setting up this memorial for us to remember about Jesus and the sacrifice. And I thought Richie did an excellent job in presenting that this morning. But another great point to be made about the Lord's Supper is simply the fact that His resurrection gives us all great hope. And those who Peter was addressing in 2 Peter chapter 3, there were those who decided that the resurrection wasn't going to happen. So this morning, I thought it would be good for us to discuss and talk about the idea of don't give up. And I'm going to use as the basis of my lesson today, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And in this great text, the Word of God says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So what I want to do this morning is examine that particular passage. We'll just dissect it and make the connection of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the great hope that we have in Christ, and that we remember every first day of the week. So let's take a closer look at it. When you find a word, and I've said this many, many times, when you find the word "therefore" in a text, you need to see what it is there for. It's referring to something that has already been said, and now the writer is making a conclusion or an important summation or a major bullet point of what he's been talking about. So when we take a look at the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find that Paul is talking about the resurrection. And in verses 1 through 4, we'll read that together. The text says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, I've said this many, many times, but in this particular lesson, I need to state it again to emphasize this. The death of Jesus was essential for our salvation. But the resurrection gave proof that the death forgave us our sins. It's the resurrection that gives us the proof that Jesus is the Son of God, therefore having the right to die for our sins. The resurrection gives us the hope that we too will be resurrected. So it's important that we understand and notice in verse 12, Paul says, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" That would be ludicrous, because if there is no resurrection from the dead, as Paul will go ahead and point out, not only verses following, But in verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Paul makes the point that if Jesus is not raised from the dead, we're not going to be raised either. If there's no resurrection, then Jesus Christ was not raised. And we are all to be pitied that we have believed in such a lie. However, in verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's something that's very significant. The significance of this is the result of what Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, therefore, in verse 58, the grand conclusion is that since the dead are raised, and Jesus is proof of that, that we are all capable of going to heaven, and don't lose faith in the well-proven and established truth and work of Jesus Christ. So that's an important message. Now, he took 58 verses, as we have divided it, to say that. So when we consider the idea of this resurrection, I want you to keep in mind that in the first century, there were people who concluded there was no resurrection. And when that doctrine began to be proclaimed and get some steam, there were a bunch of Christians that were quitting. They were giving up. They would stop serving the Lord. So Paul says, don't do that. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren. My is something very personal. He says, beloved, this is an esteemed one, a favorite one. And then he says, brethren. And the word brethren throughout the scripture of the New Testament talks is just the idea of from the same womb. We're brethren. Now, how is it that Paul, who's a Jew, could speak to Corinthians, who are Gentiles or Greeks, and say that they were brethren? How were they of the same womb? Well, I want you to remember that on Paul's second missionary journey, he goes to Corinth, and in Acts chapter 18, there is the account of Paul going there and him preaching and teaching the Word of God. And when he taught the Word of God, verse 8 says, and Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. So here we have a historical evidence that Paul preached the gospel in Corinth. People believed it and they obeyed the gospel. Now, let me remind you that when a person is baptized, that is also dependent upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul made that very point in Romans 6, that we are buried with him. We're buried into his death, baptized into his death. And that just like Christ was raised from the dead, we too are raised up to walk in newness of life. If there's no resurrection, then we have no hope in anything spiritually. So it is the fact that Jesus raised from the dead that gives us this great and wonderful hope. Now, in the first part of 1 Corinthians, we started studying the book of 1 Corinthians way back in, I don't remember, the first of the year or something like that. And we've been off track because of the virus and so forth. But you may recall that Paul addresses them in verse 2 of chapter 1 as the church of God. He talked about those who were saints, those who called upon the name of the Lord. So how is it that Paul, a Jew, and the Corinthians, Gentiles, how could they be of the same womb? It's because they'd all been born again of the water and the Spirit. They were all children of God. That's the beautiful relationship that we have today. Brethren that are live streaming, they're our brethren. People that are out in the parking lot, they're our brethren. People in here, we are brethren. We share this with brethren all over the world. We're of the same womb. We have the same hope that's given to us by the power of the resurrection from the dead. Notice he says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, which means unshaken. Be fixed in a purpose. You know, it might be easy for us to be easily influenced by strange doctrines. And I've tried to encourage this all of my life in preaching and teaching the Word of God. You might really like me and just think that I could never say any wrong, but I want to say to you, number one, I'm a man. I make mistakes. You need to listen to God. Make sure that what I'm saying is from God. And how do you do that? Make sure you got your Bibles open when I'm preaching and when I'm teaching. And not only me, but any other man. Make sure you're following from the Word of God, that it is, that the truth is being taught. Because we need to remain steadfast. And we do not need to be tossed here and there every time a new teacher or preacher preaches and we believe something different. We need to be immovable in the sense that wherever, if we're assaulted by temptation, if we're assaulted by persecution, if there are distractions, if there are discouragements, if there are personal problems, you're going to be immovable. Now, if you're like most human beings, we do get distracted. We do get discouraged. And we must learn to be immovable. We must learn to be able to stand steadfast upon what God has taught. The Word of God says, always abounding. That is to excel or to overflow. Being a Christian is all about being like Jesus, who He also was always, that is, ever doing what's right. I think Richie mentioned it a moment ago. I've mentioned it a number of times as well. You know what is so great and awesome about Jesus Christ? He lived on this earth for about 33 and a half, maybe 34 years, and He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He was tempted in every way that we are, but He never sinned. Now, I hope that that gives us encouragement. God tells us that we do sin. We do make mistakes. But Jesus is our example for us to follow in His steps, and He, at all times, excelled. Jesus Christ is an example to us of persistence, of perseverance. When you read the New Testament, there are times when the Jews, they're just hounding Him all the time. They follow Him. They're big crowds. They embarrass Him. They try to hurt Him. They do everything they can to upset what He's trying to accomplish. And they were effective. They were the cause of so many turning away from Jesus. Paul is saying that we're going to constantly be bombarded. We have got to learn to always abound. And that takes persistence and perseverance. You ever heard of the story of the rabbit and the turtle race? Everybody expected the rabbit to win. The rabbit's faster than a turtle. But why did the rabbit lose? It was because of the persistence of the turtle. God is not asking us to run the race like a rabbit. Far from it. But to run the race, to be persistent. Notice He says to abound in the work of the Lord. This, my brethren, is not a game. We're not participating in a game. At the end of life, it's not going to be like, well, we left it all on the field. I gave my best. You know, I just didn't win today. If you're a Kentucky football fan, you learn to say things like that. I'm going to tell you something. Life is not a game. And you're not going to be satisfied at the end by saying, well, you know, we left it all on the field. You know, I did the best I could. I just didn't make it. Here's the point of the resurrection of the dead by Jesus Christ. When you leave it all on the field and you give your best, God's grace will save you. You won't be left behind and you won't be losing. Because there's not any of us that are going to play the game perfectly. So Paul's saying, look, you need to always abound in the work of the Lord. It's not man's work, it's God's work. And we need to appreciate the fact that when we come together, this is the Lord's day. It's not my day, it's not your day. It's the Lord's day. This day is consecrated. This day has been set aside. This day belongs to the Lord. Therefore, we treat that day and we work for the Lord. We serve the Lord. And I think it's important that we notice that he says, knowing that your toil, and knowing only comes by hearing, the only way that I can get encouragement and understand those that Peter was addressing. Well, you know, the sun has come up and the sun has set ever since the beginning. What makes you think that the sun is going to stop coming up? It's been coming up for centuries. There will be a day when the sun does not rise. There will be a day when all that is physical is going to end. Only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ do we have hope that when the sun sets, that we will rise up and that we will have hope of heaven. And that only comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when we're talking about knowing that your toil, toil is this intense labor united with trouble. And that's significant when we think about that idea of toil. Many of the first century Christians understood work, toil, trouble, death. Can I be so humble to make this confession? And would you agree? This virus is no joke. It has inconvenienced us. It has hurt people. It has killed people. And yet, that's not the greatest issue with this virus. The greatest issue with this virus is that it has discouraged so many people from being a Christian. It's as if we have put that kind of on hold. Now, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't be wise, we shouldn't be cautious, we shouldn't do all the things that we need to do to make sure we try not to get this. But being a Christian, and I really like what Damon said the other night, and I think it was Wednesday night or maybe this past Sunday evening. He says, you know, spiritual things trump physical things. And that's true. What Paul is saying here in this great text is that as a Christian, we can think about dying or we can think about living. We can think about death or we can think about heaven. Again, don't misinterpret. That does not mean that we don't take seriously our health. When you get in your car, do you buckle your seatbelt? Yes. Do you drive like a crazy person down the road? Well, some of us do. But we try to pay attention to the speed limit and so forth and so on. And even when we've done everything correctly, somebody else is not paying attention. They can run into us and we can have an accident. Do everything that you can to be safe. But remember, we serve a God who loves us, who will reward us if we persevere and if we hang in there and do the best that we can. He says, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I must say to us, there are many times that we might say, I've done enough. I've done all I could. I can't do any more, etc. I see Paul here saying to all of us as Christians, regardless of how old you are, regardless of your surroundings, give it your all. Give it your best. Because what you're doing is not in vain. Because it's His work. Did you know I will not be judged for my faithfulness to the Lord on how many I've baptized? Or how many in a service came forward and confessed sin? I'm not going to be judged based upon how a preacher grew the church. Do you know what a preacher will be judged by? Did I preach and teach the truth? Did I practice what I preach? The reality of it is, you're responsible for hearing it, and you're responsible for doing it. I'm just responsible for telling you what the Bible says. I'm not accountable if you don't obey. I'm not accountable and take the glory if you do obey. And the significance of that is that God allows each and every person to be blessed and or condemned for what you do personally. So in this great passage, he's talking about the idea then of us not giving up and serving the Lord with all we've got. And you must do that for you. I understand that there are times maybe that I'm here preaching for you. But I need to be preaching for me. You need to be here and encourage others. But you need to be here for you. You need to be here for you. And I want you to understand that it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that should give you great hope. Yes, we say sometimes, you need to be faithful to the Lord because you're going to die one day. And that's true. But death is the necessary door for every person to go through because of this great blessing. You have to go through the door of death in order to be resurrected to life. You can die and have the resurrection of eternal damnation. But you are going to rise from the dead. And the hope that you have in Christ is one of continually serving the Lord. So if you look at this passage altogether, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So here's the lesson for today. Do you get discouraged? Do you feel like quitting? Do you want to give up? You want to stop? Do you think maybe this has all been a hoax? You think maybe we've been fed a bill of goods and it's not really true? Well, one thing is true, that you can positively go out today, go somewhere, and figure out if it's true. People die. Then the next question you've got to come up to a conclusion is that once you die, now what? If you say, well, when you die, you're just like Rover, you're dead all over, that's all it is. Eat, drink, and live, for tomorrow we die. Go do what you want to do, if you believe that, and you think that's true. And good luck. But if Jesus raised from the dead, and I believe that He did, then you understand that when you do die, there will be a resurrection, and then begins eternity. It is in Christ that we have hope of eternal life. It is in Christ that we have hope of living forever. And that, my friend, is the reason you should never quit. You have got to keep on keeping on. Do not give up. Do not give up. However discouraged you get, however disappointed you get, I'm going to disappoint you. Brethren are going to disappoint you. The Lord will never disappoint you. Don't ever give up on Him. Serve Him with all of your heart. If there's someone here today that needs to obey the Lord, if there's someone here today that has given up and is not working for the Lord as you should, you need to turn your life around. You need to be obedient to Christ today. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you're a child of God and you've just given up, then come back. God will accept the prodigal home. He's looking for you. If we can help in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?